I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jesse.
We're Cannabis School. Having cannabis-infused conversations
with everyday people,
cannabis companies,
celebrities,
and your mom.
Welcome to the Sesh.
So today, we just want to welcome you guys back and welcome Meredith from Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself. You have been doing like a whole bunch of stuff. You've been coming into like art. You've created a podcast, a journey to like help other people. Tell us a little bit behind what Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself is, what it is. Yeah.
Totally. So it's really the first step in all healing is being authentic and facing, literally acknowledging the problem. It's like, I would short phrase it as Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself is a narcissist's worst nightmare because it's all about facing the music, facing the truth, facing who you are, to really resolve any issue. It's all about the relationship between you and you. And that's what healing really is. You have to get real and start cutting the crap and cutting like the coping mechanisms and the symptom treating to really acknowledge, what is this really about? What is the real problem? And the more that we face our shit and the deeper levels that we go through that journey, and other things can assist us with that, the more that we're able to actually heal. And I searched, I mean, listen, I had pain for 17 years. Like, no one should have to dig and be in that much pain and suffering for 17 years just to find basic, simple truths about female hormonal health and about just health in general. But through that journey, I was able to find experts and practices, modalities, herbs that have helped me. And I created the podcast so that I can introduce those to people and so that other people don't have to literally die, like every month come back to the other side and like have this whole exorcist experience on their period and like live this double life like I did. If I can just help one person set themselves free, it was all worth it. But the podcast is like the science and the modalities and, you know, the products and kind of things that I worked through, as well as like the emotional stuff too. And then the book, which I have an accompanying book, is the first year. It captures the first year of my Every Phase art series, which is an art series that's going to go on for 13 years. And it's how I healed myself from endometriosis. And that's more of like living by the phases of the female and Freudian rhythm clock. I'm sure we'll get into it. I could nerd out forever about the art side of it, which is like, it was a response to Beeple's Every Days series, which he was like, I don't know if anyone knows Beeple. He's an NFT artist. He sold the world. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, I remember that name. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did this famous Every Days, 5,000 days. He sold it. It's the world's most expensive NFT ever sold. It was like $200 million or $170 million. And he created a piece of art from every day from start to finish for 5,000 days.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of these projects that go along. And I was like thinking, I was like, I had just been like healing myself and learning about, you know, how women are on the 28-day cycle and men are on this 24-hour clock and kind of reload hormonally. And our world is kind of built around 9 a.m. testosterone's highest, 5 o'clock, it rolls away. And I mean, we all know the world that we live in based in productivity, and nothing wrong with that. Everyone, listen, that's biohacking and leveraging that for your life, but it's very, very one-sided. And so I was like, I'm so fucking tired of seeing these every days, like every fucking day, gotta rush, gotta finish all this shit by the end of the day. I'm gonna make a piece of art, not every day, but every phase, which there's four phases. And not only make art and live the art, but also educate people and help them biohack and leverage this energy in their life. So it was definitely a response to that. And a lot of my art is like that. It always works better when I'm slightly pissed off in general.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I mean, most art comes from a place of passion, whether it's anger or fear or love, or, you know, there's always something usually based upon emotion that comes from. Do you find that when you do art, do you utilize plant medicines in your, like when you're actually creating? Or is it more of like, do you use that anywhere in your methodology along the way?
1,000%. Absolutely. And that's the cool part about the series is I am living the phase. So it affects your brain chemistry. Different phases, different hormones are sent to your brain and delivered throughout your body. So if you know this, for instance, in the menstrual phase, the period phase, the right and left brain hemispheres of your brain are more communicative than any other time. So you're primed for very intuitive, very like psychic messages. And it's like that because it's a shedding time. Like, what's the shit that I need to like release and let go of to move forward into the next cycle where a new follicle is formed and you go through ovulation, then you go through luteal, then you go through the whole thing again. So having that knowledge and then using, you know, things like cannabis. And for me, we were talking a little bit earlier about how I really have to metabolize cannabis. So using CBD, using gummies, and in certain phases in different amounts really assists not only if you have something like pain, but assists the healing journey in general for you to even know yourself better. And not only cannabis, but definitely psilocybin mushrooms been huge. I mean, you're ingesting universal wisdom, I feel like, with both. Like, you are having, the plant is having a telepathic experience through you.
Yeah.
That's
really
how
cool.
I feel about it.
Yeah. Especially like psilocybin definitely is, I guess cannabis can be too. You can experience very psychedelic, or, you know, experiences or thoughts, or even the introspective abilities that come from like psilocybin are I often find within cannabis, and I know Jesse does too. Like, it's been a huge tool to use to take a step back or like look at a situation from a different perspective than maybe we've been stuck in. That like these plant medicines have been incredible tools for just opening up that mindset to seeing a different perspective.
Yeah. It's showing a way to be able to unlock potential within your mind, because it's one of the things that any, you know, from mild hallucinogen, just like cannabis, all the way to psilocybin, DMT, and all the other fun ones, they are able to help like these neural pathways to connect better and to actually form stronger memories from it. Like, you know, I always kind of find it funny when they talk about like, oh man, you know, smoking pot's gonna ruin your memory, you know, and maybe in some aspects, but I haven't really felt that. I felt that it strengthened my memory, but it's depending on the actions that I'm taking. Because if you're doing something with intent, such as with your art, like I'm a word guy. I am in marketing and anything else that I do, and the coaching I do right now. Like, it's all about that communication, but there's an art to it. And I find the exact same thing when I'm able to be on one or the other of the plant medicine, I'm able to unlock these ways of how do I make this more streamlined for me to help me understand better. And the takeaways I get are so immense, like your book and the podcast and everything else. Like, you know, you had said that earlier, like, gosh, you know, a girl like me, I shouldn't have gone back to cannabis because I had some horrible experiences, some exorcism type of experiences, bodily fluids, all sorts of things. People died. Anyways, it was intense. And then you came back to it. Something about the plant that actually brought you back. What was that?
Well, I will say that I'm blessed to have a lot of people like you guys in my life that are extremely educated in cannabis usage, in growing, in just knowledge of the plant in general, of hemp oil. You know, my husband has made meals, like incorporated that, like during my healing journey when I was doing vaginal suppositories to help pain. Like, we actually started like making our own, and I was like, why aren't there CBD tampons? And now there's those. It's so you can really start to get creative. But I would say what brought me back is probably that I think I was just at a point where I was so tired of running around, taking Lortab, oxycodone, like Roxy's like not knowing, because that's the only kind of relief that she would get. And even those wouldn't sometimes touch the pain. Like I would have to go to the emergency room, be lying on the floor in a pool of like, you know, sweat and blood. And I've literally crossed over to the other side. I've literally crossed over to the other side and come back again from that much pain.
You've had NDEs through endo?
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Because the pain, it's wild. It's a wild condition because it doesn't matter like the amount of endometrium that is in someone's. It's not like you can just physically look and be like, wow, that person's like uterus or intestines or lungs has like all this endometrium on it. I bet they have a lot of pain. Some people it can be everywhere and they have zero pain. And then some people like me, you get one thing, like one little right embedded in my pelvic muscle. So for me, like in Western medicine standards, by their standards, oh, well, it'll always be there. You'll never be healed unless you just have a hysterectomy and like take out part of your pelvis and all this other stuff. So it's not physical. But if I have something that's not responding hormonally to estrogen, which is what causes the pain in general, and again, it's a ratio balance of progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, and everyone's is different. If you don't have that, it's not hormonally responding to that. And somehow the immune system, you're detoxing that estrogen, because that's the thing. It's all about just how you pass it. And I think getting back to that conversation of how I got into it, I think the way that my husband kind of put it was more in like health terms, in more of like an anti-inflammatory, and CBD is where I started to, you know, I didn't just start with things that were psychoactive. But when I did, I was like, when I finally wasn't scared to do that, and I was so fed up with what I had been doing, I kind of felt like, well, what do I really have to lose? I've already died. Like I already know what that's like. I could have that experience way back again. But when you get to certain levels of pain, the silver lining is you really cut the crap and you don't sweat the petty things as much and don't pet the sweaty things. Like you just get real about like what's really important in life. Like when you die and you're saying bye to everyone, like, it's like, what am I thinking about? Am I thinking about how much shit I did or didn't get done today? No. Am I thinking about the sweaty shit? No. I'm thinking about my connections with other people. I'm thinking about, you know, the sexual trauma that I experienced and how that affected it. I'm thinking about, because I healed myself of an eating disorder as well. That contributed. There's so many different layers of understanding. And I think when I first experienced that first edible experience, I was like, okay, I get it now.
Well, that's cool. It sounds like there's been stages of healing and just like facing your shit each time. And like, you know, we've definitely recognized that, and it's different experiences or time. You're like, oh shit, you know, plant medicine is definitely introduced, because the person I am today is nowhere near the person I was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I won't make fun of him right now because it's too easy at the back.
I know.
No, I will bring up one thing though. Like when he brought me into cannabis, he used to have these like Aladdin pants. Remember those like puffy?
I still have them. They're comfy as fuck.
I just made fun of him all the time. I was like, all right, Aladdin, take off. But I'll tell you, like, yeah, it's exactly that. Like what Brandon had said. And to go into what you just said, I'm just really stuck on that, you know, not realizing a lot. A lot of our listeners may not understand that endometriosis is not just like a inconvenience, if you will. You know, it hurts a lot of women every single day, from the it's really uncomfortable and I hate this to the point where death has been experienced, as you've just told us. Like it is, I have a close friend of mine, his wife and him, it kept them from being able to have their children. It took 7 years. They maxed out their insurance on what they can do for fertility for the lifetime. Like, doesn't matter how long she works for that company, it's on there.
Exactly. Yeah. People don't, and it is technically considered now a disability. But I think what's so even just more evil is that a lot of it is totally preventable and completely treatable. And the treatments that are what you'll get from the doctors, even today, you know, part of the reason I had a surgery 17 years is because the medical gaslighting that occurred of people, literally doctors, highly referred doctors, telling me it's all in my head. Literally, it's all in your head. It's a psychological issue. You know, maybe you're just one of those people that has pain. Have a baby or it'll go away, which is a total myth. Birth control, it'll go away. Well, because it makes them more money. So, you know, it goes away in their opinion. But that's a whole other episode. And there's these literally criminal prescriptions. There's this drug they're still prescribing today, Lupron, that just removed. They're like, oh, estrogen dominance. Oh, it's responding hormonally to estrogen. That's why there's pain. We'll just remove all estrogen and put women, young girls, in a fake menopause, which Lupron is a drug for transitioning women to become men. It is what they give. It is a puberty blocker. So basically Western medicine's response is, okay, to get rid of your cramps, just become a man. Your voice may deepen, hair may, this is literally what they'll tell you. Hair may grow, your voice may deepen. And not even, it's not that I'm saying there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but you're just trying to get help, like with your pain, with your cramps. And they're telling you, like Western medicine's response is, okay, well, we're going to have to remove all estrogen from your body, put you in a fake menopause, which will guarantee you have Alzheimer's as well as a slew of other diseases. And, you know, you're going to have a beard and basically become a man, maybe start growing a penis.
Do they give you a free dick at least?
Dude, right. That should be the next question.
Does it vibrate? Like, these are important questions to ask. If this is the side effect, like...
It's ridiculous. And these companies have been criminally sued and charged, and they're still prescribed. It's amazing. Well, yeah. So
they're able to outspend that. Any lawsuit that comes their way, you know, that's how a lot of these very predatory companies who are only after the dollar, they don't care what they provide. You know, you've got credit companies, you've got big pharma. Everybody's trying to be able to make a buck as quickly as they can. And it doesn't surprise me, but, you know, when you're talking about a lot of these things that your body hormonally has gone through, it sounds like you've done a lot of research on your own. Have you worked with like functional medicine doctors or nurse practitioners?
Yes. So it took me a while to even find, like, I didn't even know what a pelvic floor physical therapist was until I started. I first did a lot of the heavy lifting. I started the heavy lifting by educating myself nutritionally on how hormones work. And I read a couple books, Woman Code and In the Flow. They should be required reading for all girls, all people, because it's literally just the basic principles of like the phases, as I just described, and how the hormonal cycle functions and what endometriosis is, how it's formed, how it's developed, PCOS, fibroids. It's all connected and it's all a result of the imbalance of any of those three, of progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. Everyone's balance is different. So through that, I did three things. I did facing your shit, healing yourself. A large part of that was facing my sexual abuse and trauma. So I did because endometriosis, a lot of people don't realize that it's also extreme pain with sex. And it's not talked about because it's very taboo, because anything going on with your genitalia is like, it really fucks with you we live in this very taboo world, even with periods and stuff. It's like, holy shit, we all came from a period. If a woman didn't have a period, we wouldn't be here. So I'm not sure why it's that taboo, but you know,
that's
it's
just so much stuff is taboo. It's, you know, we don't talk about that, or it's not comfortable.
It's ridiculous. So facing that was huge. And I will definitely say that was around the time that I started really using edibles more regularly, and suppositories helped tremendously with. So I did that, and I did pelvic floor physical therapy. Tremendous, because not only is it hormonal, but also the physical actual like muscles there, because of your nervous system dysregulation and the trauma you've experienced, your body holds all that in different. So of course it probably would help for me in my pelvic floor and for a lot of people, but they're unaware of how those are all muscles down there And it's very empowering when you learn to loosen, strengthen, really control those muscles and really become in alignment with your own body and connected to all of that. So podiatry's help greatly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm, you know, what you're talking about, I work I consult with a functional medicine clinic right now with all of their providers. And so when you're talking about that, like I hear a lot of these stories, these same stories, and a lot of how Western medicine has kind of turned their back on a lot of this. Just like what you said, saying, hey, you know what? You don't like the pain of being a woman? Well, man up, you know, take this, you know, and don't worry about it. There's, you know, Manscaped, and you can use that now, right? You just trim up everything. Like, it doesn't, that's the answer, is to just take it away instead of like, how do we strengthen and heal it? And talking about this, these suppositories and understanding that, you know, CBD can actually really help with that inflammation. And a lot of people have this kind of sitting on the fence going, you know, and I'm sure you went through that period, but what was that moment? Like, was it the edible that you had and you're just like, I get it now? Or was it just a series of events and then figuring out the dose? Cause you said you can't smoke at all, because it'll just put you on your ass. And
So what was the moment like when I was like, okay, I get, like, I'm now cool with cannabis?
I would
say, so I did CBD first, which I was totally cool with, and I think that's more like long-term use, like sustainability. And like, it's not like, okay, I'm taking CBD and I'm just gonna feel, I mean, some people sure, but for me, like, I also saw a functional medicine doctor who I still see to this day. Beautiful, beautiful man. Love him. He's been on the podcast actually. And yeah, so I would say, so CBD, yes, but I didn't really start getting it. I think the suppositories is when I was like, this is actually really cool. Cause then it's like right in your bloodstream. And I was starting to become more okay with my body in general to just like use a suppository. And then edibles, where it was like, okay, I'm, so it was definitely steps, and that's healing. Healing's a journey, you know?
So with like the suppositories, did you find that it was mostly effective with like cramps and direct, like in that area effective, or is that still something you felt throughout your entire body?
So back then, and it's been a while since I've used a suppository, because I've done so much work where it's not really,
I think necessary. Now
it'd be more recreational now, like, hey, let's have some fun. But you know what I mean? It's more like how actually intimate, like Foria and stuff, which, by the way, Foria, I used their relief suppositories. They're amazing. But,
oh, cool. I've been curious on that. My girlfriend has PMDD. And my sister had probably very similar, but she just had a hysterectomy last year. And so, but that's another thing I feel like for a lot of women is, if they know they're not wanting to have kids or they're okay having a hysterectomy, there is very often that their doctor still won't allow it. They're like, nope, there's no need for you to get it. And they will fight tooth and nail not to allow the woman to still get that hysterectomy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. And it's because it's what's best for them, not what's best for the patient. It's what's best for their paycheck or their pocketbook or whatever.
Organization. Yeah. What brings in the most money to the organization? Is it someone who isn't going to be a returning customer because, well, they're not having more kids and that's bringing in more other things? Or is it someone who has a one-time fix and then, well, they're not coming back for these types of things? It's a preventative care. That's
totally. And listen, you get hit by a bus, hell yeah, you better make sure you have a Western medicine doctor, like, to put your ass back together. But chronic disease, everyday, like, things like this, where you're in pain every month, like, hormonally, this is like a chronic disease. The answers aren't found in catastrophic treatments, because catastrophic treatments only treat the catastrophe. They're meant for putting yourself back together when there is no other way. The body knows how to heal itself. You just have, we've been, and this is a multi-layered problem from our food, from our water, from, you know, the air we breathe. Like, there's toxins everywhere from the beauty products. Holy shit. That's like most of your cancers are found in your cosmetic aisle, like legit. So it's, and that plays a huge role. Febreze literally causes endometriosis. Like, I'm not even going to get into some of the toxins and stuff in those. It's like, it's everywhere. It's little bits from everywhere. So there's a lot of levels to talk about it on.
That makes sense. And actually on our last episode that we had for the sesh, we kind of goes into that with carbon, like the carbon fertilizers, because we actually talk about like the perfect ratios. And if you're, the plants are having to dilute or give energy to fighting off bugs or doing these other things, they don't have all the energy they need to grow to this perfect, you know, best version of that. But if they have all this bank of energy from this fertilizer that is crafted perfectly for that, well, then they're not drawing on their own energy bank. They're drawing on this existing energy bank of excessive energy, allowing the plant to do these things that it couldn't normally do, because it's like, well, I have to fight this and I have to do this and I have to do this. So it's the same with our bodies. We like, what is the stuff we're putting in it? What are you feeding it? What are you watering it with? Like, what activities in motion, like, what are you doing to your body to actually help it try and heal itself or get back to homeostasis, versus sitting in the stress and the depression and feeding ourselves horrible shit and consuming horrible shit and going, hey, I hope this makes me feel better. Like, hey, I hope it does too. Good luck with that. Like,
totally.
Yeah. And so going through this whole process and getting relief, physical relief, you know, working with a functional medicine doctor, learning how to be able to, what in a sense, and I'll summarize this and hopefully not the most crude way, but really rebuilding your pelvic wall, like controlling it, understanding like you, every part of our body is subconscious. You know, it's some of the things that I actually, when I coach people and teach people about their subconscious and how it helps them to achieve things, your subconscious runs all the time. Like if we break it down, like from how we're breathing right now, our heart pumping, our lungs doing everything, our cells constantly moving. Our consciousness is just the passenger for the ride. And so when you're able to tap into this, like you're physically, you've been able to get there. What I'm curious about is you get there and then all of a sudden these emotional things to face your shit come up, right? Because the body's really good, the subconscious is really good going, okay, pain is taken care of, you know, physically, she's okay. Mm-hmm. I think you should deal with this shit right now. And they give you the, all of that. You said you had to face a lot of the sexual mm-hmm. abuse that mm-hmm. came towards you. And what was that like when you started facing it? And did plant medicine in any way kind of help with that coping of that?
1,000%. Let me just go out there to the quantum real quick, like, because you touched on it a little bit. All time is happening at the same time. So with that understanding, it is not linear. We are living this experience as if it is linear, but it actually isn't. It's all happening at the same time. And we are always in three places at once: mind, body, spirit, mm-hmm. right? The matrix is a control system for your mind, but you're in all three places all at one time, all the time, and you're infinite.
Wild.
It was actually not too long ago that I had an edible and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the exact question. I was like, how did I really, because I felt like I was gonna die at 18. I didn't expect to make it. I'm 35 now. I would never, ever, ever, ever have thought, ever, ever, a million evers, that I would be here sitting with you talking about healing myself. No, that's the cool thing about the truth. You don't have to believe in it for it to exist and still work. So I did not believe at all. And I was thinking, how did I keep going all that time? Because it had a very toxic home life, all these things. And I was thinking, because I heard, you know, these voices, even back then, we all have that relationship inside ourselves where it's just like, listen, it's all going to be okay. Just draw. And that's, I started healing myself with art, and that's how I got basically kept alive, got a scholarship on a wing and a prayer to an art college, and went from there. Basically art saved my life. But I was thinking, where did that come from? And I really literally on the edible was like, it was you. I actually believe that it was actually me now talking to me back then, because all time is happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And having the, you see what I'm saying? Having the connections and the relationship that I have with my inner child, which is your higher self, but in child form, and having the relationship that I have with all the parts of me and all my emotions, and that level of self-acceptance, that level of integration, when there isn't any kind of part that you deny or push away or diminish, when you're cool with your shadow and you're cool with the dark, you're unstoppable. You can walk through time. And I feel like on a quantum level, that's actually partially what it was. I'm sure like my higher self, and there's a whole other spiritual conversation behind that, helped me. But I actually, a large part of what I feel like the plant was telling me, which they always tell me, is it was actually you. Like, it's you. It was you the whole time. It's your problems were because of you, and your solutions were actually because of you. It's all about the relationship between you and you. And cannabis for sure helped me. So with the sexual abuse, that part, being able to face it, because at least for me, the connection, the body high, so to speak, that I get constantly, because I guess I'm a lightweight, I'm not sure, but everyone's experience is different, helped me sort out where energy was going from different emotional responses. And especially with sex and intimacy and having issues with that and working through that. And I have the, like, God bless my husband, because he is literally my rock. And I mean, we're each other's rock. We are totally a team. But to have someone also that had that understanding, and he's a Reiki master, he's not new to any of this, like, kind of quantum conversation. It took, I think, our love for each other and our partnership to, in combination with things like cannabis and having the willingness to look, that really pushed that over the edge. It's absolutely possible.
Yeah, and if you have that safe space with your partner, that's probably incredibly huge. Go ahead, Jesse.
Well, no. And going right off what you just said, Brandon, it's something I was actually explaining to my son, right, when I was driving to get to this majorly important call, is that when you're able to subconsciously connect with other people, like I was talking to him about how to be able to match your breathing to the other person, and how you could actually use this to manipulate other people, but you could match their breathing and then move their breathing into your breathing pattern. And there's this subconscious connection where you feel like, I've known you beyond this life. And what you said there, because, and I'm so glad that I'm actually very high right now. I smoked this and then I was drinking this infused drink, and it was like a little bit into our conversation. And I was like, oh shit, did I take too much right now? And I'm thinking, I gotta go get some lemon juice. I'm like, no, we gotta hear this. Yes, and I don't wanna stop the flow. But I'm telling you, like, it really just, it sunk up right there. And then when you talked about that time is continuous, meaning it is not forward or backwards or now, it is at all times. Mm-hmm. And when you talked about like how it was yourself that actually was able to go, it's all you. You're the solution. You're the problem. And you're the future. You're not your past, because it doesn't exist. Because once it's gone, it's gone. Because it's continuing. And you can only go back and read from it, going, what mistakes were made? How can I avoid them? Can I help other people do the same? And that's how we progress. It's like what we were talking about with the other episode of talking about with this soil enhancing company that's just amazing and what it can do for cannabis. But it's the same thing for us. Like, you have this magical ability to connect with yourself, and how cannabis becomes this amazing part of that process. And it just is able to help you align and slow down. And so you can speak. It's like being a time traveler in real time. It's like an event horizon. If you understand that concept of traveling through space and time, if you took one point and you folded space time together and you went through a portal, you would appear at this side. We could be millions of light years away, but by being able to leverage things such as plant medicines, you're able to speak to your future self, to your current self, going, don't do that. Hey, come this way. You feel that way. Like you talk about that voice, right? In a non-schizophrenic way, because I mean, unfortunately, they have to deal with that. But for us, I truly feel that way. Like my inner voice is louder. I am more here and listening to that. No wonder why going through the process that you were able to, you found this inner strength physically and then emotionally on top of it to be able to go through that. And for your husband, who truly just is, he's like, I'm here for the connection. You know, sex is a bonus. It's awesome. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But
totally.
To have that connection now is just so incredible. Like it, like I said, you know, your breathing syncs up, your heart rate sync up. You know, the thing is, it's not just for women anymore, right? You know, your periods don't just sync up, you know, like you guys are all Bluetooth, right? It just, but it's, you sync up with that person because you've finally been able to sync with yourself. And that's when you're able to face your shit, right? Because now you're just like, you'd let go of this ego, because we create egos for ourselves in every situation. But when you face your shit, that's when the real you starts to come out, and knowing that it evolves. You're not going to be the same person tomorrow as you were today. So I don't know. Maybe it's the space behind me, because that's why I put that here, because I started feeling high and I'm like, I'll put that there. But But no, I made so much sense what you just said. It is so eloquent the way you put it. And in the sense that, you know, you are everything. And if you can slow everything down and talk to yourself and figure your shit out.
It's healing that broken little kid inside all of us.
Totally. And that's why I feel like they don't want people using cannabis. Because when you realize, and that's one thing that I gained a greater sense of understanding by using edibles and going this journey, like with cannabis as like a tool for that, as well as other things, but definitely cannabis for sure, because you're not controllable when you realize you are everything. When you realize you are source and you are one with every living thing on this planet, like we literally are each other as different expressions and fragments of source. So, and that gets into a different spiritual conversation, but it's just the truth. And that when they took that away from science and a lot of the healing modalities, it cost a lot of things. Like it takes away some of the potency and some of the understanding, a lot of the understanding of like why things are happening in our body. Because like you said, it's not just, you know, you ingested some toxins. There's toxic energy. There's toxic people. There's toxic beliefs and things that you formed from this life. And that's really, really what causes disease, not just, you know, the heavy metals and stuff.
Yeah, I remember reading this book on the history of cannabis and development of like oils and all that, like super strong, you know, THC oils that they were consuming like ungodly amounts on all one go and hallucinating. But the cool part is when they were talking about during like Napoleon's reign, and when he was going through all, even into Africa, down into Egypt, and the Egyptians, he didn't like the Egyptian soldiers talking to his soldiers because they would smoke together, and his soldiers would say, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. And it's like, it actually like unlocks a lot of control that maybe others have on you or society or your, whatever you've fed your subconscious for you to be who you are right now. Nobody wants to be in a place of despair, but you're exactly right. Why would they want you to be able to control things such as your body and being able to feel like you
or heal yourself? Feel it. If you're not going to the doctor, getting prescriptions for all of these things, all these ailments, all of these, you know, symptoms that they're treating. Western medicine is great at symptomatic treating. They're great at like surgeries. We are awesome for surgeries in certain aspects. There's also FDA regulated shit that is just ridiculous that makes other countries way better for surgeries in certain aspects. It's just business. So yeah, but at the end of the day, like, if you truly do address that and you can look at yourself, heal yourself, you're not doing symptomatic treating, you're not doing any of that. Like you said, you're addressing that real bottom issue. Like, what is causing this? What is the root of these issues that's causing? Because most of those doctors aren't addressing the root cause. It's, let's throw some pills at some symptoms and there you go.
Yeah, you're but good. I mean, even the doctors are, I mean, a lot of them are unknown to a lot of these things where you have, like, yes, you know, the functional yes medicine doctors I work with, like, they had to go through their own journey to realize that, I mean, even one of these guys, like, it wasn't even Western medicine that had the answer. It was just, it wasn't the right answer. This guy got carpal tunnel so bad that they were like claws. Mm. And he was going to get carpal tunnel surgery. If you know that, they just got a tendon. They're not doing anything. They're just mm-hmm like, more like what happened to you, right? It's mm-hmm like, oh, we'll just take it out. Let's mm-hmm figure it out. They removed eggs and dairy from his diet, and it fixed it. Like, just, he's like, that fixed it. It changed his life. He became a naturopath doctor. Mm-hmm. And it's, they just don't know enough, because it's exactly what we've talked about. Like, the profit is all that matters for him. So not only keep your patients dumb, but keep your doctors just as dumb and saying, look, mm-hmm, the only way you're going to come up with a solution is if we tell you that makes money. So, mm-hmm, and they don't know. They just think that, hey, I'm prescribing this because this is going to help. This
they're only taught what they're taught. And what they're taught is.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
I mean, and
you have, yeah. You have pharma funding all the schools.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You have Rockefeller Medicine. It's all, so it's like, they're not even taught nutrition. It's only like one class, I think, they require nutrition. Like, it's like nothing.
And they're still using the old broken model, right? Just get yourself full loads of sugar and carbs and you're going to be great. Yeah. Right. It's this constant bullshit that's fed to us. Right. And we do so happily. But the thing that's really strange, right, if you start going into, and this is a lot like what we deal with right now with our mental health, our physical health, when you're able to introduce natural medicines, plant medicines such as cannabis, psilocybin, and so on and so forth, mm-hmm, you're able to make this amazing connection with yourself, and you start finding yourself being able to do exactly what you've done, Meredith. Is heal. And yep, and that's a great transition going into your art, because I know for me, music and cannabis will get me into a state of flow on demand. Yeah. And where other people will spend hours just ruminating over ideas, and then it finally hits them and then they can go for it, and you better not stop them. But your art, tell us about your art. What style of art do you consider yourself, if you do at all? And from there, like, what's the connection to the pieces even? And I'm assuming that you sell some of your pieces or give pieces away, but how does that feel to give a part of yourself every single time? Is it the positive where I'm like, that's part of me that I'm giving to somebody else? That's an act of love. Or is it like really hard and it hurts still to some degree?
So I create as my sacred practice, and specifically speaking about the Every Phase series, which is how I healed myself from endometriosis and living those phases, I'm living the art. So I'm looking at it more from, it's for me in my own healing and my own sacred practice, and I'm sharing that authentically. So it's more about just me telling the truth and me showing up authentically and sharing that with other people, instead of, you know, trying from the outside in. It's more of a very like holistic way that I do it. And yeah, they absolutely are for sale. And what's really interesting is that most of the pieces that I've sold have actually been not women buyers, but actually men. And it's like this series about like periods, but it's way about way more than just periods. It's about truth, freedom, many of the things we talked about today, because those are what a lot of the phases are about. And the phases in our body mirror what's the universe, the universal phases. Like I like to call Mercury retrograde, for instance, like the period of the universe, of our galaxy, for instance, because you're supposed to go in, not start anything new. There's seasons that the Earth goes through. Like everything is just different levels of looking at something and zooming out, and it's all mirrored within our bodies. So when I'm making the art, I'm definitely connected to that and to the message. And it's really about getting that out there and just sharing with other people, so they can A, know that they're not alone. And then, you know, like these men that have bought pieces from the series, they relate on a universal level to how to deal with pain. Mainly a lot of the attraction there, because I've asked, I'm like, why did you guys buy this? Like, you know, like one of the manliest men I know, like bought this piece, like behind me, where it's like, you can't see the whole thing, but I'm like coming out of like, this is a bodice and it's me coming out of a womb. So it's like you coming full circle to your own womb space, like giving birth to yourself, right? In a way. And there's many different ways you can take that. And there was a little haiku I wrote with it because it's called Over the Rainbow. And I said, over the rainbow, I searched for the answers and I found a mirror. And for instance, he related to that because he kind of woke himself up and healed himself in a way out of a coma after an aneurysm. And so I think the universal message that why it speaks to, it's not just like periods and women, is being in that much pain or feeling alone and then finding the whole universe inside of that pain and that journey, going through that and going through the kind of dark night of the soul is actually like where all the power is, like going through the storm, not going around it, but actually facing it is where all of your unrecognized power is. Like your pain is actually just your unowned power. In a way, it is unintegrated. It is unrecognized. It is unrealized. That's what all the shadow is. It's not like this dark, scary thing that we need to be afraid of, because nothing is bigger than you, because you are everything, your source. So a large part of the series speaks to that. And so I thought it was interesting. A lot of the buyers have been men, but it's all mixed media pieces. I'm a photographer, so I do commercial work, of course, but I mix with painting. I do a lot of these digitally, just to keep the cost down, and because I'd have like a million pieces in my house. But then I also, because it's like every phase.
Spaces.
Because people, like imagine people, like if he did like physical, like 5,000 pieces, right? But I started.
Take up so much space.
Dude, I know. But I thought, what if someone wants to buy like the whole collection? And so I started doing these like little acrylic block pieces that are so fucking cool. They're literally like 2x2. And then like you can have a QR code on the back. And a lot of them are augmented reality interactive too. So like my book, Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself, is actually, so the art will actually start moving. You download an app.
That's dope.
Yeah. So it's a different levels to experience things on. So I'm always looking for ways to make fine art, which has been so elite, like the way that it's been marketed is like it's this high level thing that you have to earn your way up to make it easier for people to like have relationships with artists and actually buy art and relate on a personal individual level, which is a big part of the reason why I put this series out there. I had never explored it before, but I felt like it was really important. And I feel like not only does it help other people on an emotional level, but it also helps people realize that I'm a real person that they can work with. And buying art, you don't have to just go to fucking Pottery Barn or IKEA. You can actually go to like work with a real artist and have it not be that difficult and not be that like, oh, elite. So
I think those are my favorite pieces, honestly, are the ones that I've gone to a place, like, honestly, it's even like farmers markets and places that I go and I see an actual artist and I talk with the artist. I've even had ones that I've had them make me a piece when I'm there, because it's just like, that's really what it is. It's the connection with the artist, with the art. Like everyone's style is so unique because it speaks to whatever emotion it is they're expressing, you know, whatever it is. And everything, there's always the viewer's interpretation as well as the artist's interpretation of it behind it. And so I love going, and like you said, how many men have gone and purchased your pieces? Because to them, maybe the meaning and what it speaks to them on a different level is way different than what your intent behind it was. But it's beautiful, because I love that art can speak. It's like music. It speaks mm-hmm. to everyone so incredibly differently, but like,
yeah,
on like a soul level.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, just hearing how you explained that, I've never had that perspective of what the menstrual cycle actually means, like in a really just like bro way. You just flip my mind on periods. Like,
yeah,
now I think of it differently. Like, I understand why they're buying it, because it's not only the pain of it, but realizing the sacrifice that is your life. It's not like when you talked about you have to go through the storm, like you have to go through that pain. It wasn't something that could be avoided, you know. Mm-hmm. And men have their own pains and journeys that they go through, and they're both sacred in their own right for each other. That's, I respect that so much. That's why, you know, being a woman is incredibly not only taxing and difficult, but rewarding, and knowing that you have made that connection. You've said that quite elegantly and beautifully. Brandon had just stated, because I think about, like, we just had that my wife, I think she's had that conversation with my daughter. I know she's having a really hard time with it. But I'm literally going to go back and just have her listen to this, because I think the way that you explained it is really, it brings like a lot of, I don't want to say the word appreciation. You make it sacred. It's not something to be like, meh. Yeah, this sucks. Guess
sacred.
What? Yeah.
It is sacred.
To realize the power, like you stated, like there's power in that. There's so much strength in it. Right. I think that's why we talked about, like, you know, hospitals, like doctors will fight for it to that. Like, I think down in the integrity of those doctors, they're just like, the ones who do fight against it are like, no, I don't want you. You do not realize what you are giving away right now for what? What is it? Like more time to do shit, to buy more stuff. Right. It's not about that. My wife has had a partial hysterectomy. And they tried everything they could to be able to get her not to that point. And there are some pluses to it. And I have 5 children, and that's great. You know, we have a big family, and we did a lot within that time. And it was really hard for both of us, because it's something that even now when I hold a baby, I'm 45 now. And I'm like, there's part of me going, man, what would it be like to have a kid again? And even though a lot of the hard stuff is there, like I look at my youngest and I'm like, holy shit, that's crazy. Like, that's so crazy. Everything that you went through and your spouse will go through, creating that, understanding that, seriously, you've totally changed my mind in periods, bro. Like, I am.
They're powerful.
Yes. And now, yeah. And And connected to the universe, everything is cyclical. There is this rinse, repeat constantly. There is a reminder of whatever else is out there, whatever you believe in, whether it's a creator or being or whatever, but there's something very real to that. And that part of what you shared and how it's interpreted into your art and the cool stuff, like, I mean, it's, you've just thought of so many different ways to connect on so many different levels to the 5, you know, ways that we communicate to ourselves and to others. And I just, seriously, like, I mean, Brandon knows this too. I'm big into neuro-linguistic programming, and he's done that too. And I mean, you fit all of them, the audiovisual, kinesthetic, the olfactory, and the gustatory. You envelop the senses through your pain, and you have turned it into something that is healing. And that's pretty crazy. It's self, you're like a starfish, right? You cut off one of the arms and it just grows back, and it's same as it ever was. Like, it's what you've done with parts of your soul, if I may say that, and a part of you, right? You just sewn it all back together, and there's no scarring over there. It's just stronger.
Totally. And I'm not on any kind of pedestal. Trust me. It's a journey. It is not a destination. Yes, you get to a certain level where you're like, realize your own freedom. But on that level, then there's a whole other menu to look at. It's like you couldn't even conceive of the different levels of feeling before you even got there. So it becomes just a feeling of better and better and better, especially with sexually, especially even just emotionally. Like you can't even conceive of the next level until you go through. So it's never ending, which I love. I love.
Well, there's always going to be a next step. You know, there's always going to be some next level in progression, you know?
Totally.
So I think that's fantastic. And finding that level and that next step, it seems like you have come on such an amazing journey so far. At 17 years, like you said, when you were 18, not thinking you'd make it to 35. I joked around all the time about dying by 35. Now I'm 36. I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do. This is like bonus time.
Yay. Bonus time. Let's go.
I can't begin to thank you enough for your perspective, because, you know, it's, you know, there's perception and perspective, and the perception is that all the answers are in a bottle or in a shot or some type of implant or just ripping things out. Like, it doesn't make sense. If my car is not running well, I go, well, I'm just going to pull these things out. You know, it's vital to the system, but I'm going to pull it out. What happens? That's not going to run anymore.
Even though you don't need an alternator, that shit's overrated.
Yeah, just rip it out, right? But by being able to just have that courage and strength that so many women out there experience all the time, and to understand from a man's point of view, and you explaining it so well, like I have so much more appreciation. Literally, we just need to take that and how she explained it, and we'll cut it up.
Short little clip.
And we'll put it out there. And that's how schools can explain it. Like, you know, a mom's having a difficult time being able to explain it in a meaningful way. Boom, right there. There you go. And then here's some art to go along with that. Because it was
the truth.
Right?
Yeah. It's the best part is it's true. I'm not exaggerating or making it in any kind of way other than the way that it is, like, because I've lived it and I've tapped into it. And it's just cyclical living in general. And I think we used to live like that more. I mean, my husband and I live in terms of my cycle, and it's the way the whole earth operates. You know, it's just, we've become so disconnected from our own bodies and from the earth in general. You know, Mother Earth knows everything. So I'm really not sure why we go anywhere else. So getting in touch with our bodies, specifically with the menstrual cycle, is mirroring what she is going through and what she knows already, and leveraging that. Yeah, you can leverage every single phase as different powers, basically. If you know what's going on in your brain and your body, you can absolutely leverage it.
Yeah. So Meredith, tell everyone at home, where can they find you? Where can they tune in and listen to you? Where can they find your amazing art?
I'm everywhere. You can listen on every major podcast platform.
She is source. She is everywhere. Just tune
I'm
in.
Everywhere, dude. Just tune in. But yeah, seriously, it is everywhere. And I'm on every social media platform. I'm very active on LinkedIn. My website is just my name, MeredithOchoa.com. And that's a great way to contact me. And that is where you can sign up and subscribe to the Every Phase series. So we're in like year 4 now. So if you sign up and subscribe, you'll be like the first to get the piece of that base. And then I do these fun little acrylic block collectibles too. So there's a bunch of different ways to get involved and get in on it. And it's all on my website.
Awesome. We'll have all those links below in the show notes. Make sure you guys check them out.
Yeah. I just subscribed. So I'm super pumped. I love that. I love your thumbnail. That's awesome. That's
Thanks.
Really cool.
It is cool.
Oh my gosh. Meredith, thank you again so much. We appreciate it, being able to not only be on your podcast, which you guys will be able to hear soon. You need to sub to her podcast. So all those
For 20
people
episodes.
Are listening. Yeah. Yeah. You got to be able to get that. We really, really, really are excited. For your journey, to follow your journey, to stay in touch with you. I'm sure we'll have you back on. And thank you. Really appreciate
it. It's been real. Thank you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. And as always, love you guys at home. Love our Patreon supporters. Thanks for helping us get this far.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. And make sure to be able to like and share this. Tell everybody about it. Tell your mom, right? I don't get to say enough mom jokes to Brandon because I just feel so bad because his mom's so nice that I would feel like horrible. Like, I'm sorry I said that about you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't think she listens anyway. So.
No, she definitely does not listen to this. But... All right.
She loves you. Oh, yes, definitely.
All right, everybody, take care.